Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes every time when we study your word, we see light, and help us to be the son of light and walk in the light, to live like Jesus Christ, so that we live a life worthy of your calling. And I pray that you fill not only the one who speak and those who hear with your spirit of wisdom and revelation. So when we study it, we know your will and we also do your will. And when we see you face to face, we will receive praise, honor, and glory from you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I talked about one hope. And what's that one hope? That one hope is to live like Jesus Christ. And what does it mean by to live like Jesus Christ? And there are four things we can learn, the lessons from the life of Paul. Number one, take a look at how God saved him. How God saved Paul. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul said that with his own word. Paul said that with his own word. He is the worst sinner. But for that very reason, Paul was shown mercy, even though he was the worst of all sinners. He was shown mercy so that in Paul's life, in him, Christ Jesus may display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. If God can save Paul, he is the worst of all sinners. And Paul said that. That is to show to the entire world that how God being patient with him. I want you to circle the word. That's how God showed his unlimited patience on the wicked Paul. And then in verse 2, chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul said, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Be patient is the virtue of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has to learn the lesson of being patient. I want you to circle the word unlimited patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the life of Jesus. He showed it to his faithful servant Paul. And then I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Circle the word, chapter 2, verse 10. I endure. If Jesus Christ showed his unlimited patience to Paul, And now Paul showed his patience to the elect. Why? So that they may receive salvation with eternal glory. When Paul said that, be completely humble and gentle, be patient and bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. All this comes from his personal experience. He experienced God patient to him. He experienced God being gentle to him. He experienced God being humble to him. I want you to turn to Philippians. Right after Ephesians is Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You have to act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, speak like Jesus. When people look at you, they see Christ live in you. Who being in very nature, God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, circle the word, Jesus Christ humbled himself. How Jesus lived? He showed his unlimited patience to the worst of all sinners. If Jesus Christ displays his unlimited patience to the worst of all sinners, we are not worse. I don't think we are worse than Paul. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we don't persecute the church. Take a look at how his co-worker, Dr. Luke, described what kind of person he is. Turn to chapter 7, book of Acts, chapter 7. When those Jewish people stoned Stephen to death with Paul. Chapter 7, verse 58. They dragged Stephen out of the city and began to stone Stephen. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Circle the word young man. You know what? In Hong Kong, we have a lot of young men. What did the Bible say? The Bible says 7 times in the book of Proverbs. Number 1, he said, the greedy man stir up dissension. Greedy man, now in a newer NIV translation, they say greedy man stir up conflicts. Young men like to do that. Number 1, you write that down. Greedy man. You know, I heard that they love to get money from people, back him up, and then he tried to destroy his own life. Second thing, hot temper man, stir up dissension. Same recorded in Book of Proverbs. Third, angry man, stir up dissension. Three. And then the one who is hatred, stir up dissension. Love, cover all wrong. Hatred, stir up dissension. Those people who stir up dissension is that angry man, hot-tempered man, greedy man, and he's the man with hatred. And then I say that it mentioned 7 times in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 6, book of Proverbs, God say, the scoundrel, the balance, always stir up dissension, stir up conflict. In the same chapter, chapter 6, the one who stirred up dissension among brothers, number 6, stirred up dissension among brothers is hate by God. It's an abomination to God. Brother and sister, don't learn from Paul. When you were young, you stirred up dissension. According to the Proverbs chapter 6, you stirred up dissension. God's going to destroy you suddenly without remedy. You don't know when he destroys you. You don't stir up dissension. Paul is the one who stirred up dissension. Take a look at how his co-worker, another one I missed that. Number 7, a perverse man. Stir up dissension. Mentioned it 7 times in the book of Proverbs. I haven't seen anything that mentioned 7 times. It's to warn the young people. You don't stir up dissension. Because God's going to destroy your life. And Paul is the one like that. When people stone Stephen to death, and he's the one. He watched over the clothing of those who stoned him to death. Chapter 7, verse 58. Look at chapter 8, in verse 1. And Saul was there when they stoned Stephen to death, Paul giving the approval to his death. They like to kill people. You know what I mean? On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. I want you to turn to chapter 9. It didn't change, you know, he kept on doing it. So that's why he said, it's the worst of all sinners. Chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogue in Damascus. He did that in Jerusalem. He thinks it's not good enough. He's a greedy man. He wanted to do it in Damascus. So that if he found any there who belong to the way, whether man or women, he might take them as a prisoner to Jerusalem. Lo and behold, in Damascus, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. I want you to write that down. How God saved him. You write down Acts chapter 9. Inflict upon him with blindness. That is a pain. Very painful stuff. Inflict upon him with blindness. For how long? The Bible say, for 3 days. So within the 3 days, he cannot see anything. He is in total darkness. So what did he do in that 3 days? According to Acts chapter 9, he did not eat. He did not drink. What did he do? The Bible say, he prayed. He fasted and prayed. He said, how come the one who appeared to me with brightness and said to me, he is the Lord that I'm persecuting. I never persecuted the Lord. I thought I'm serving the Lord. I didn't persecute the Lord. I love the Lord. If I love the Lord, how come I'm blind now? That means, in the book of Proverbs 14:12, There's a way that seemed right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. He thought he's serving God. He stirred up dissension among brothers. When people stoned Stephen to death, he gave an approval to that. He persecuted the believer not only in Jerusalem, he brings the persecution into Damascus. He's getting worse and worse. Just like the young people in Hong Kong. At first, it's peaceful, peaceful demonstration. Now try to kill people. You know what? If God gives that approval, he won't mention it 7 times. I say that one more time, I memorize it. A hot-tempered man, number one. Angry man, perverse man. Greedy man, scoundrel, villain, and the one God hates, and the one with hatred. Hatred. Chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up dissension. They hate God, they hate God people. You're going to reap what you sow. When he persecuted the believer in Jerusalem, the Lord did not stop them. Because God wants all the disciples to realize, you don't just stay in one place. You have to move on. Through that persecution, all move on together except the apostle. Because the apostles, they are stubborn, they don't know God's will. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will have power to witness for Jesus Christ, not only in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. You should go to the end of the world. They don't. So God allowed this wicked man to do his will. Because the Bible clearly stated that Psalm 119, all things, verse 91, serve him. Even the wicked man can serve God. Chapter 12, Acts, verse 2. And God used the wicked King Herod to teach Peter a lesson. You don't stay in Jerusalem. He allowed John's brother, James, to be put to death. And ever since then, chapter 12, Peter moved on, leave Jerusalem. Chapter 8, they don't leave Jerusalem. Chapter 12, they leave Jerusalem. Everything happened with a reason. So in all things, we give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, you don't know his will? He used wicked man to stir up the thing. Then you think about that. What's going on? Keep going. How God saved Paul, struck him with pain, caused him to be blinded for how long? For 3 days. So that he prayed earnestly. And then you know what? The Bible clearly stated that Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Without revelation, without vision, people cast off restraint. No restraint. You can do whatever they like without vision, without revelation. But blessed are those who keep the law. So, God struck him with blindness. And then what the Bible say in Acts chapter 9? In a vision during his prayer, he saw a person called Ananias. You come to him on the third day. You come to him and lay hand to him so as to restore his sight. And lo and behold, on that same day, the third day, that person comes and serves for him. He said, Brother Saul, My Lord Jesus Christ asked me to come to lay hand on you so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? Because of this incident, God only used 3 days to transform the worst of all sinners to be the holy man, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as is recorded in Acts chapter 9. 3 days. That's why in his own writing, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, he says, I am like the one abnormally born. Not on the due day. Normally it takes 9 months to come to know Jesus Christ. Normally it takes 9 months for your mother to give birth to you. But only 3 days. 3 days, God transformed this wicked man to be the holy man, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he baptized in the name of Jesus Christ on the third day. That's how God saved his life. Not everyone's like that. But God is a chosen one by Jesus. Ananias struggled with that. He said, I don't want to lay hand on him because I heard about him. He gave us a lot of harm. He not only harmed those believers in Jerusalem, he's coming to Damascus to persecute us. And Lord Jesus said to Ananias, you go. He's my chosen instrument to witness among the Gentiles, among the Gentile king, among the people of Israel. Chapter 9, verse 15. On top of that, I will show it to him. He has to suffer more pain for my name's sake. Number one suffering, blindness. Number two, you know how God used him? You write that down? After God saved him, God's going to use him. How God used him? You write that down? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Give him wisdom. Give him revelation. Give him vision. Give him power. That's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's how God used his servant. First of all, save his life and then transform his life. Also causing pain. What's that pain? You write that down. That pain is the thorn in the flesh. What are the reasons, according to Paul writing, that he has that kind of pain? Because he has such a vision. He was taken up to the third heaven. He was taken up to the paradise. He heard something that he's not allowed to write down. And the Lord is afraid. He has such a vision. He has such a revelation. He has such a wisdom. He has such a power. He become a proud man. So God allowed Satan, the servant of Satan, to put pain in his body. Just like chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Job. God allows Satan to inflict pain on the life of Job. Write that down, man. Write that down, chapter 1, chapter 2 of that pain. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because God wants to use him. Without that pain, God cannot use him. How did God use Job? You write down James. In the 5th chapter, God used Job so that we all learn patience. Humility, gentleness. And then God showed Job mercy. restore his fortune with double portion. Everybody say? Everybody say? That is God's word. God demonstrate in the life of Job, now demonstrate in the life of Paul. Inflict pain, thorn in the flesh, so that he is not boastful of his vision, boastful of his wisdom, boastful of the revelation that God revealed to him. Without wisdom, without revelation, how can he pray for us? In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 all the way to 19, I pray to the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because he himself received the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants all his followers, that who follow his example, to receive the same thing so that we know Jesus Christ better. Number three thing that we learn in Paul's life, how God used Paul by inflicting him another kind of pain. What kind of pain? Locking up in prison. You write that down, Ephesians 3:1 and 4:1. Right beside 3:1 and 4:1, you write down Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In salvation, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Paul repent and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, he received salvation. And then in quietness and in trust is your strength, is your power. God wants Paul to understand two things. Number one thing is Christ. Number two thing is the cross of Christ. These two things, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, equal to God's power and God's wisdom. When he asked, Lord, who are you? The Lord Jesus said, I am the one you persecute. He said, I didn't persecute you, I persecuted the church. Now he realized, the church is the body of Christ. That's why he can write Ephesians chapter 1:23. Church is the body of Christ. You persecute the church, you persecute Jesus Christ. You bless the church, you bless his body. Through all this pain and suffering, and God revealed the truth to him, he locked him up in prison. In chapter 7, Acts, chapter 8, and chapter 9, Paul locked a lot of people up in the prison. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, and he loved righteousness. He loved righteousness. You lock people up without reason? I'm going to lock you up and let you feel the pain. Write that down. In the Old Testament forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know Jacob? First of all, he deceived his elder brother. And later on, he deceived his father. Oh, God's going to take him to his father-in-law's house. And his father-in-law going to deceive him. How many times, Stephen? 10 times. The Lord is righteous. You deceive people once and twice. His father-in-law changed his wages 10 times. You know how God changes? Inflict pain on you. The same pain you inflict on other people. If God is righteous, you bet. He's righteous. Chapter 9, verse 16. I will show it to him. For my name's sake, for my word, he will suffer many pain. Blindness to save his life, and then later on restore his sight. In his blindness, he sees the vision. But before blindness, he don't see anything. He thought he understand the scripture. He didn't. Until he fall into total darkness, he see the vision. He see Ananias come to him, lay hand on him. Just like what Jesus Christ said to him. I will restore your sight. Inflict him thorn in the flesh so that he will not be conceited, will not be proud and arrogant, will never stir up the city. One more thing, number 8 in the book of Proverbs. Mocker, stir up the city. I say 7 times, right? Now I add one more. Mocker, stir up the city. Paul, from this day onward, he dare not be a mocker anymore. What's the name of a mocker? In the book of Proverbs, proud and arrogant. Mocker is his name. Then he become humble. That's why he tell other people, brother and sister, I urge you, as a prisoner for our Lord Jesus Christ, I suffer pain, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. I'm being proud and arrogant, I suffer pain, and God changed my life in 3 days. Turn me around. And that's why he is the only one, he say that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. For it is by grace that Paul has been saved. Through faith. How can Paul say? It caused him to be blindness. And then you're going to go inside the city and I will show you what you're going to do. He followed the instruction, go to the city, and lo and behold, he prayed, he fast, he don't eat, he don't drink. He serves God. This salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is not by work, salvation so that no one can boast. Because Paul is a proud man. He boasts. That's why he suffered so much pain. No apostle suffered more pain than Paul. And no apostle inflict pain on other as Paul inflict pain on other people. You write down 7, 9, and 10. 7, 8, 9, I'm sorry. 7, 8, 9 of Book of Acts. He inflicts so much pain on other people, and Jesus Christ inflicts pain on him. Just like Jacob deceived his brother, deceived his father, and he asked his father-in-law to inflict pain on him. Now, this is the better teaching. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know how? You know how God created his servant in 3 days in Christ Jesus, and he want Paul to do good work, preach the gospel, plain and clear, which God prepared in advance for Paul to do. He understands. You know what? When he write this kind of writing, that is his personal experience, how God transforms his life. He's not inventing something that he never experienced. Does it make sense? It makes very good sense. Now, I hope from this day on, when you look at pain, you look at pain in a different way. It's a blessing in disguise. It's a wisdom and power of God in disguise. Not very many people receive that kind of thorn
in the flesh, unless you are a proud man. Just like Jeremiah chapter 9, the rich man boasts about their riches. The young man, just like Paul, boasts about his own strength. And then philosopher, a wise man, boasts about his own wisdom. He boasts about that. God gives you pain in your flesh. You know why God gives you pain in the flesh? Right beside 2 Corinthians chapter 12, right beside thorn in the flesh, is to stop you for rely upon your own flesh. You write down Romans chapter 8, verse 6. If you let your mind be controlled by your flesh, that's death. If you let your mind be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that is life, and that's peace. And that's why Paul says, make sure you bond everyone together with the bond of peace. He is the one used to be stir up the city, stir up among the brother and sister. Listen to me, this church is a very small church. You hear something, you don't stir up, man. God's going to deal with you right away. You don't stir up. In the book of Proverbs, a calm man, a wise man, calm the turmoil. You don't stir up, you don't spread around. You know, when we hear what the pastor say, I mean the preacher say, they only say, oh, God love you, God save you. He didn't mention how God deal with Paul. But Paul is not feeling ashamed of being locked up in the prison for the sake of Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of that. He said, that's your glory. Because he write that down in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Christ, Jesus is the Christ. If you know that Jesus is the Christ, that means you receive God wisdom. That means you receive God power. If you know that Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and on the third day he was resurrected, you know that? You know that cross? If my master has to be crucified in the flesh, I am his servant, I have to be crucified in my own flesh. Or else, I cannot walk in step with the Holy Spirit. You know what the Galatian people, Paul said? How foolish you are in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. You begin the good work with the Holy Spirit. Are you going to end it to finish the work with your own flesh? With your own strength? How foolish you are? And then he writes 5:24. Don't you know that? If you crucify your flesh, you know what I mean by crucify your own flesh? Chapter 5, verse 24, Galatians, you write that down. Thorn in the flesh. Lock up in prison. Pain in the neck. Lost freedom. The Lord Jesus wants you to be quiet before the Lord. In the book of Job, God can speak to you while you have fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus, you write that down. Chapter 1, verse 9, 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. And God calls you into a sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are called to have a fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want your fellowship with Jesus Christ? According to the book of Job, God say, I can speak to you, have fellowship with you, while you are sick on the bed. While you are locked up in the prison. God wants to speak to you. Because without vision, without revelation, people cast off restraint, do whatever he likes. Blessed are those who keep the law of the Lord. And Paul understood. 29, 19. Without pain, such the word of the Lord. God's servant will not respond, even though he understood. But God has to inflict pain and suffering in his servant so as to use it. Through that pain and suffering, in Romans chapter 5, he says, through that all this all this distress, all this suffering produce perseverance, produce patience, produce endurance. And through this enduring, your life change, it gives you character. When you have that character, you're like Jesus Christ, then you live like Jesus, and here comes the glory. Wow. What did I know? God saved a person, and later on, he's going to use that person to be a noble instrument. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 9, we are objects of God's mercy. We are not objects of what? Huh? We are not object of God's wrath. We are object of God's mercy, prepared in advance for glory. Inflict pain on him so they can use him and use him greatly. So that he say in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, no longer I live, it's Christ lives in me. When he write the scripture. When he speak the very word of God. Just like what Jesus say. When I speak the word of God. Wherever I go, it's God want me to go. Totally controlled by God's spirit. That's how God uses it. Brother and sister, be wise. Devote the time to have fellowship in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Devote your time to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because God called you, God is faithful. He called you to have fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, daily. Then you will be healthy. Don't need to be sick in the bed and talk to you. Because when you're sick, you can't move, you know, you lock up in the bed. Don't need to be in prison. God can also speak to you in a dream while you are asleep. But I prefer God speak to me while I study the scripture, because I enter into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Is this good stuff? Because he loved to speak to you, according to Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. In the ancient time, God speak to his people through prophets, in various times, in various ways. But in the latter day, God speak to you through his son, Jesus Christ. If God want to speak to you through his son, Jesus Christ, that means you better enter into fellowship with Jesus. Right beside Hebrews 1:2, you write down 1 Corinthians 1:9. I pray, O Lord, that my sermon can impact the life of the Apostolic Bible Church. I don't want you to inflict pain on us, just like you inflict pain on Paul. Number one, blindness. Number two, thorn in the flesh. Number three, lock up in prison. I can talk to you every day, right? When I invite you to a Bible study, that means I'm sparing you to go through the pain. You may not understand what I'm trying to say. Until the pain comes, you know what? According to 14, 15, 16 of the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Just like Philippians, what Paul say, you may not understand what I say. You may not agree with what I say. But in due time, God will speak to you. But you live up to the level that he called you right now. Okay? Number four. I talk about number one, number two, number three, number four. Come on, we suffer so much pain. God to have glory. You write down 2 Timothy. God saved Paul. God used him by giving him wisdom and revelation. And then inflict pain on him, lock him up in prison. So that he's in quietness, in trust, is his strength, is his power. So he understands God will better than any apostle. Because he has quietness and trust in the Lord. He totally humble, submission. Not like the Hong Kong young people. They are in riot and get locked up, and those people outside and force this rioter to be released. No, Paul didn't agitate the church. Say, you got to demonstrate on my behalf so that I be released. No, you don't need that. You just pray. Don't be stupid. You just pray. Besides, he comfort more people in prison to those people outside. Am I right? In blindness, he see the vision. He receive revelation. God revealed to him, I will use you among the Gentiles, among the Gentile kings, among the Jewish people. But through this process, you will suffer pain. Are you willing to follow? Oh, you're willing to follow? Then I justify you. After I justify you, I glorify you. Romans chapter 8, 28 all the way to 30. He glorified him. That's why. Number four, God glorified his servant Paul. And Paul said that before he passed away. I fought a good fight. I run the race, and I finish it. And I kept the faith. My righteous Jesus will give me a crown of righteousness. You know what? He didn't say a crown of anything else. He write down, he's a crown of righteousness. Because when I lock people up, when I give people murderous strength, do you know what Paul received murderous strength? More than any apostle, do you know that? Jesus Christ wants him to know how you feel when you receive this kind of threat. Because you give threats to other people. You understand? You can change your life. That's why he says, my Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of righteousness. My Lord Jesus Christ will give me a crown of righteousness because my life has been transformed, has been changed. And then he says, he not only gives him the crown of righteousness, he also gives the crown of righteousness of those people who are willing to follow my example. Four things we learn. Four lessons we learn. And how God saved him, transformed him, and used him, and later on glorify him. Our Heavenly Father, we heard loud and clear what you have spoken to me. Wherever your servant go, help him to explain, make plain the gospel to your children. So that when the pain comes, we don't rebel against God. We submit to God. Just like what Paul encouraged the saint in Ephesus. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. Because God called us to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, to live like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to act like Jesus. How? Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, not stirring up the city, not stirring up affliction stirring up dissension, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. When your servant study your word at home, I pray you give him insight and give him understanding so that in due time he fed your little lamb, take care of your sheep, and fed your sheep. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.